19. Psalm 19, we got this started a couple weeks ago. Of course, we're trying to preach through the Psalms on Wednesday nights as the Lord directs our thoughts. And we've made our way to Psalm 19, covered up to that point thus far. And we covered about the first six verses, I guess it was, a couple Wednesday nights ago, and had a time in here. And the Lord really just changed our way of looking at the mornings and the evenings and the daytimes and looking up in the heavens. And I hope you're still rejoicing over how that the Lord has taught us some things here out of this psalm already. Now this evening we'll stand together and read this psalm in its entirety again, and trusting that the Lord will help us tonight in the house of the Lord. This is one of the greatest psalms, I believe, of all the 150 psalms that are in your King James Bible. I believe it's one of the greatest psalms that there is, if not one of the greatest passages and chapters in all the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of the earth. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Let's pray together, and we'll continue our thought out of this great psalm. Lord, we come to you one more time in the name of Jesus, and by His blood, asking that you'd help us tonight. We're so thankful we can gather in on this midweek worship and prayer meeting service. Lord, we understand tonight, and Lord, many churches, Lord, they'll come in and they'll go through the motions. Lord, we don't want to do that tonight. God, we've come in tonight hungry and thirsty after righteousness, hungry and thirsty for God to speak to us. God, I pray that you deal with hearts tonight through the power of your word. And God, may you teach us something. May we learn something tonight. May we be challenged and encouraged and exhorted, rebuked and reproved tonight in every way. God, I pray, and Lord, you'd have your will and way. We pray especially for that soul that's here tonight, that's yet to be saved, whose life has never been convicted, never been changed, never been regenerated, Lord, never had the power of the blood of Christ applied to their life. Lord, I pray that conviction would fall upon them, the Word of God would have an effectual working in them, and Lord, they might be given faith that they might believe tonight. And Lord, all that you do, Lord, in their life, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise and honor for that. Help us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. As we come to Psalm 19, we understand from the heading of this psalm that it is a psalm of David. As I've read it to you in its entirety, we understand that this is a psalm of David emphasizing and magnifying of the Word of God. As we read through this psalm tonight, one thing is clear, that David loves the Word of God, and David is magnifying the Word of God through this psalm 19. And tonight I want to say that I love the Lord. When you study David's life, you're going to find that David loved the Word of God. Psalm 138 in verse number 2 said, that David said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And David loved the Word of God. David said at the entrance in Psalm 119, he said, the entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. And David had a love and a desire, and David knew the importance of the Word of God in his life. And when we study this psalm in Psalm 19, a lot we could say about David's love for the Word of God tonight. And as he gives us this in Psalm 19, we understand that David is magnifying and exalting and emphasizing in this psalm where God has placed his word. We read in the verses 1 through 6, and David reveals that the Word of God is in the sky, and is in creation, and in the heavens, and in the firmament, and God has placed his word there, and it speaks as God has made all that is. We'll deal with that in a moment. In verses 7 through 11, he moves from the word that is in the sky to the way that God has placed his word in the scripture. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect. He said that the testimonies of the Lord are sure. He said that the statutes of the Lord are right. He said the commandment of the Lord is pure. He deals with the fear of the Lord in verse number 8. Judgments of the Lord in verse number 8. And my friend, this all relates to God putting his word in written form down in the scriptures for you and me. I'm glad that I have the Word of God in my hand this evening through the scriptures. We make no apology about it tonight. And we believe the King James Bible does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And tonight we're thankful that God has given you and me his word through the printed page in it, what we call the Holy Scriptures tonight. Then he deals with, David deals with, I believe, in verses 12 down through the end of this psalm in verse 14, and God has placed his word and written it down in our spirit. He deals with how the Word of God is affecting his inward man, and how that the Word of God warns him. I'll deal with this later on in the message tonight, Lord willing. If we get that far, that God has placed his word down on the inside of you and I, and that word is written there, and it keeps you and I from sin, it controls our life, and it gives us victory from day to day. Here's what David said in Psalm 119, where we thought, shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so it's the word that is in our heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, and I might not sin against thee. And so God has written his word, my friend, in the sky, and God has placed his word in the scripture, and God has placed his word in the spirit of man. When we do by nature the things that God has put in his scripture and in his law, Paul said, and my friend, these things become a witness and a testimony, and my friend, that the word of God is in us, and they testify even against our own sin. We can develop that tonight. Amen. God's word being in the spirit of man. And notice with me tonight in this psalm, and this is where we develop our thought tonight. Over and over, David emphasizes of the word of God. But each time he emphasizes the word of God, it's not just emphasizing the word of God, but he emphasizes the work of grace and his work in man as a result of the word of God that God has given. And so when we come to this psalm, we find, and it teaches us that what God has wrought in us is a direct result of what God has written to us. And tonight you've got to get in this statement, or the message, and not make sense to
tonight. We believe strongly, according to this psalm and according to the rest of the Bible, that the work of grace in man is founded in the Word of God to man. We're thankful tonight for grace. We're thankful tonight for the workings of grace in our life. I'm glad grace was working for me before I got saved. It worked in me the night I got saved, and it's been working ever since, and it'll work, my friend, all the way into eternity. The grace of God is in work tonight in the hearts and lives of men. The way that God is doing His work of grace is a direct result of the Word of God that God has given to you and me. And people say of churches like ours, well, y'all just magnify the Word of God too much. Well, I've already quoted it, Psalm 138 verse 2. Amen. David said God magnified it above all His name, above all the singing, and we love singing, above, my friend, all the testimonies, and we love testimonies, above all the teaching, my friend, listening to that, above all personalities, above all programs, above all procedures that we might partake of tonight. We believe the Word of God is to be magnified above all things. I'm thankful tonight that I have the Word of God. I live in a generation, I said 2 nights ago, and is like the generation of Jeremiah. They said in Jeremiah's day, where is the Word of the Lord? Here's a man that comes in on the set, and he gets up and he says, thus saith the Lord. God said, God said, God said, and they said, where is the Word of the Lord? I'm glad tonight I've got an answer for that. Amen. That God has given mankind a word. Amen. He's written it down, and He's written it down, my friend, in the sky and in the Scripture and in the spirit of man. His word has been given. Now that word has an effect. You remember what God said through the prophet Isaiah, and my word will not return unto me void. It does you and I. Sometimes we think, oh man, we're preaching and we're testifying and we're sowing it and we're witnessing it, and it doesn't seem like the Word of God is having any effect. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and rejoice before it's time. Maybe it is time. But it was a blessing to get a phone call today at Kenny McMahon, who we prayed for and preached and witnessed to. I fell under conviction today all over and again. Amen. And Brother Manson called. He said, pray for Kenny. Kenny's under bad conviction. And Kenny went to Tony Lehman's house this afternoon, and Brother Tony got to lead him to the Lord. Amen. There's a man that for years, amen, has been preached to and witnessed to, and it didn't look like the Word of God was making any difference. Behind the scenes, the grace of God was working through the power of the Word of God. Amen. Bringing him to conviction and ultimately to salvation. And so we're preaching tonight on the Word of God in the work of grace. A Word of God in the work of grace. Every time David magnifies the Word of God, he enlightens you and that, and reveals to you and that, and the Word that He's placed in the scat, amen, as a direct, as a direct working in the grace of God in dealing with mankind, as He's revealed it in the Scripture. The Word of God we hold in our hand tonight, my friend, as a working of grace in our generation. And then as we're saved and become in relationship and fellowship with God, the same Word of God again begins to work grace in our life all over again. And we're dealing with that. I think the Bible has much to say in emphasizing the Word of God in connection with the work of grace. And the work of grace is on God's end. And what God does in you, my friend, what God wrought in you and that is going to be a direct result of the Word of God to you and that. And let me show you what I mean. Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter and in chapter 1 and in verse number 23. Listen, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What is the emphasis there? The emphasis is that we are born again by the Word of God. If we don't have a Word from God, there's no hope of a new birth. There's no hope that you and I can ever be born again. Amen. It wasn't a preacher that saved me. It wasn't a soul winner that saved me. It wasn't a mama and a daddy that saved me. It was the Word of God in the work of grace that led me and empowered it. Amen. The things I'd heard. Amen. I was born again by the Word of God. And that's why the Word of God, we'll see in a moment, that's why it's got to be perfect. That's why, amen, friend, we've got to have confidence, amen, that there's no incorruptibility in the Word of God because we're born again by that seed of the Word of God. It's in Romans 10:17. Amen. The Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. What am I saying tonight? Not only are we born again by the Word of God, that is the Word of God in the work of grace being born again. Notice we are given faith by the Word of God. Amen. Listen, you didn't know how to believe. Somebody began to preach the Word of God and began to expound the Word of God and give you the Word of God and read you the Word of God and preach the Word of God. And the more words you heard, amen, God began in a work of grace, amen, to apply faith into your life, amen, moving in your life, causing you to believe. Now we say that, and we're not Calvinists tonight, but faith is a gift of God. It's a work in the grace of God in our life. Amen. Romans 3 said, there's none that understandeth, and there's none that seeketh after God. But you got around a soul winner at the job. You got around a preacher that wasn't afraid, amen, to pin his ears back and drop his tag and roll up his sleeves and sweat a little bit and scream a little bit and shout a little bit and snot a little bit and tell you about heaven and hell and sin and Jesus. Amen. The more you stayed around that, amen, the more the Holy Ghost began to work and the grace of God kicked in, and we're given faith by the Word of God. Thank God tonight for the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God and the work of grace. Listen to this. Amen. Paul said in 2 Timothy in 3:15, a young Timothy said, and from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You know what the Word of God is in the work of grace? It is that we are made wise unto salvation, not by a personality, not by the ability of a man, by the power of the Holy Scriptures, we are made wise unto salvation. Amen. You didn't even know you was headed to hell. You didn't know how much trouble you were with God. The Holy Scriptures began to be revealed to your life. The Holy Ghost made it real. And somebody somewhere, amen, gave it to you in a tract, and gave it to you from the King James Bible, and gave it to you in a service. Amen. They gave it to you on the job, in the church, at a family reunion. Somebody, amen, gave you the Word of God, and what did it do? It made you wise unto salvation. The Word of God and the work of grace. That's things that happened before we got saved. What about now that we are saved? You'll understand Ephesians 5. And in verse number 26, that the Lord is working in His church, and He made us sanctify and cleanse it by the Word. It's the Word of God. And so we find that we're sanctified and cleansed by the Word of God. We're not sanctified and cleansed because of who our daddy or mama is, or grandma or grandpa is, or because of what church we go to. We are sanctified and we are cleansed by the Word of God. You are not tonight what you were even the day you got saved. Amen. Because you've been exposed to the Word of God, that the Lord has taken and sanctified your life a little bit more today than it was yesterday, a little bit more this year than it was 5 years ago. And we're sanctified and we're cleansed death abide the at work of grace that is found in the Word of God. Watch this. Ephesians 6:17 said, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this tonight. We are empowered for battle abide the Word of God. Amen. Listen, we'll fall prey every day unto the devil and his snares and his attacks. Amen. You'd have been knocked out a long time ago. Our great adversary, were it not for the Word of God. We're not ignorant of his devices tonight because the Bible has exposed it. We're not knocked down and we've not quit tonight because of satanic pressure this evening because we've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are empowered for battle by the Word of God. Listen this tonight. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 1 and 2, we find that we are stirred up for service by the Word of God. You know what makes me want to go serve God tonight? Amen. I've picked this Bible up and read it. Amen. I ain't got to read very many chapters, Seth, before I'm ready, my friend, to do something for God. I ain't got to hear somebody preach real long under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and deliver to me the Bible. Then it doesn't take long for me to be stirred up in my mind and I might go do something in the name of Christ. The Word of God, it's by the Word of God that we're empowered from battle and stirred up for service. But according to Revelation 1 and verse 2 and 3, we are assured of Christ's coming by the Word of God. And that's a work of grace. Are you listening? Amen. I wasn't there when he said in John 14, what? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And how he is going to come back to where he was there, we would be also. Amen. I wasn't there. That day he delivered all the promises of his soon coming. But you know what I do? I pick up the Word of God and I am assured, amen, over and over and over, by the Word of God, the work of grace by the Word of God, it assures me that Christ is coming again. The Word of God and the work of grace. Notice with me tonight, back in our text, and boy, we could preach on any of those. Amen. We could do a 7 or 8 part series just on those things that are listed there tonight. And back in Psalm 19, look at 3 truths tonight that are magnified in Psalm 19. We've already got the first one out briefly. I'll try to give it tonight. Amen. Lord, I'm going to preach myself silly this evening. Amen. Verses 1 through 6, we find the Word of God and the work of grace, that God's Word, we find God's Word in the heavens to convince us. God's Word in the heavens to convince us. David begins to declare here that the heavens declare the glory of God, and that my friend, the firmament that you and that behold every day, it shows forth the handiwork of God. But notice what he said in verse 2. He said, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. He said in verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And so what is David saying? He's saying in the heavens, every day you get up and bring God's air, God has written in some form, and creation is learned, and my friend, you might be convinced. We find in verse 1 and 2, that he's put his word in the heaven to convince us about the reality of God. Every day you get up, friend, and you see the birds fly across the air. Amen. It's God's word to you that there is a God in heaven. Every night, my friend, the sun sets and the moon rises and you see the stars in every socket. My friend, what God has written to you in the heavens, he has said to tell you there is a God in heaven. Every morning the sun rises, God is saying there is a God in heaven. And tonight we believe the Word of God. We have the Word of God tonight. And in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God, my friend, has written his word in the heavens. It is a universal language to prove to every soul that there is a God in heaven. Amen. Evolution, my hind leg. Yeah, what a bunch of bullocky. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a God in glory. Yeah, and every time you get up, every time you see the hills in Tennessee, amen, you're reminded of the reality of God. The black preacher said God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere and stood on the platform of nothing and spoke the world into existence. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Every cloud that passes by is God's word to man. And there is a God in glory. Amen. Every fish that swims in the strait, amen, is God's word to mankind. Amen. There is a God in heaven. And God has written His word in heaven and He might convince us of the reality of God. Number two, He's written His word in heaven to convince us about the reach of God. And we look around and we have to say, and God's written it in the firmament and in the heaven that there is a God in glory, the reality of God. Beyond that, He shows His work of grace and is convincing you of that. And my friend, His reach reaches everywhere. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying that there ain't a blade of grass that God didn't cause to grow. Ain't a tree, my friend, on these hills and mountain sides and God didn't plant. Amen. Everything we sing, God has made. And David said, here there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That is, it's a universal language. But Jared, it don't matter if you speak Japanese or Chinese or Taiwanese, or Russian or Spanish, amen, or Tennessee hillbilly redneck language. There's not a language in the world, or man and woman and boys and girls, I can't look up to what God has placed in the heavens and in the sky and convinces you and that about the reach of God. Amen. Every holler and every mountaintop cries out that God is there, that God has been there. Amen. Man, I'm glad, hallelujah. I don't know where you was when you got saved. And God's reach reaches everywhere. It touches the Baptist church pew, and it touches the barroom tonight. It touches the whorehouse and the dope house. Amen. It touches the White House. And when men look at what God has made, David said, and their land is gone out. Amen. It's a land that's been thrown out to man, and it reaches to every man. In every place, in every language, of every race, of every continent, of every language. Ain't God, God can't save anybody. God's word in the heaven, amen, is convincing me that God don't care red and yellow, black and white, purple with yellow polka dots all over their body. God can reach anybody anywhere. Amen. And then God has written His word in the heaven to convince us about the revelation of God in verses 4, 5, and 6. I really can't afford to get hung up on here, but I'm afraid I'm mad. Amen. A Bible said here tonight. Amen. David, as he's expounding, now we don't know when and David wrote this. It could have been when he was a young boy and was out in the wilderness tending to his father's sheep. It could have been as he grew older and was a young man on the run for his life from the hand of Saul as he laid out in the wilderness in caves. It could have been wrote as he was waking up, amen, some morning when he was a king and seen the sunrise. But he said in them hath, speaking of the heavens and the firmament, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And David's going to use a very specific matter, and he's going to expound on one thing, and it's just one thing that he's seen in the sky, and he said the sun. And when we study this, we believe David uses the sun and the sky to reflect that God has revealed Himself through Jesus Christ. And when man looks at creation, amen, when the scientist and the liberal looks at creation, my friend, all they can see is a big bang and a prebiotic soup and tadpoles and frogs and monkeys. Amen. All they can say, my friend, is the theories of Darwin and evolution and all that rigmarole. Amen. My friend, God has written it down in the Word. Amen. In a very specific subject matter, the shut, has revealed to mankind. Amen. He's revealing that the way he's revealed himself is through Jesus Christ. Now, through the Word of God, we find that Jesus is the Son. Amen. In Malachi, in chapter number 4 and in verse number 2, he's called the Son, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. In Psalm 84, 11, he's called a Son and a Shield. In Revelation 22, 16, he called himself the Bread and the Morning Star, being a reference to the Son. In Luke chapter number 1 and verse 78, of Zechariah the priest declared in the book of the day spring from on high, and he said he had visited us to light those that were in darkness. The word day spring literally means sun. Amen. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying over and over in the Word of God, Christ is the Son of Righteousness. He is the Son. And when you see the sun get up, and you see the sun in the noonday, and you see the sun go down, what God has written down in the heaven is to convince you of how he's revealed himself, a lost humanity, through Jesus Christ. Now notice what he said. He said he hath in me set a tabernacle for the sun. And notice what he said in verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. We noted there at that speech, my friend David is magnifying this, and that speaks it through the sun. God has revealed Christ as the risen Lord. Amen. He's a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Every time you say, amen, the night sky began to fade away. Amen. It's saying and testified. God has written it down in the heaven that to remind you there's a time when they laid the Lord in an old borrowed tomb, and panted, said, go seal it and make it sure as you can. Thank God, 3 days and three nights. Amen. The sun began to rise. Amen. And he come up out of the tabernacle, and he come up as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. We serve a risen Lord. When you see the sun get up in the morning, God's telling you about the Son of God. He's declaring to you and me through the Word in the heaven that there is a risen Lord tonight. And I say that's what makes the difference between us and the Buddhist tonight and us and the Muslim tonight. And can I just go on record and say we ain't all the same? I'm about ready to feel like preaching. Amen. We ain't all the same. Amen. I don't believe the same as some camel-riding, rug-toting, amen, dapper-headed Muslim over there in the sands of the Middle East. And I'm not trying to be mean and rude to that. We ain't the same. Are you listening? I don't pray the same God. I don't believe the same doctrine. Amen. I serve a risen Savior, full of mercy, full of grace, that was raised for my justification. I ain't the same as no robe-wearing Buddhist. I ain't the same as some dress-wearing Catholic. Woo, hallelujah. We ain't all the same tonight. Amen. We serve a risen Savior, the faith that separates you and me from every false cult and false religion tonight is we believe there's an empty tomb. Amen. Outside of Jerusalem, thank God. Amen. They laid him and he was dead. Amen. And in that tomb, amen, he conquered death and he conquered hell and he conquered the grave and he got up. Amen. And every time the sun rises, every day it declares there is a risen Lord. He said he's as a strong man going to run a race. That speaks tonight of authority and strength. And God has testified that through the sun that gets up. Listen, every day it gets up right on time. For these 6,000 to 8,000 years, it's been getting up every day. Amen. Right on time. Amen. Right on schedule. Amen. Every time it gets up, listen. Every time that the sun rises, darkness flees. Amen. Darkness can't hang around. And it speaks of authority. It speaks of the reigning of our Lord tonight. And can I say there ain't but one that's reigning tonight. And his name ain't Allah. And his name ain't Pope Benedict. Amen. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. He's a reigning Lord. And every morning you get up and the sun rises, God is declaring and convincing you by his word in the heavens and the sun that there is a reigning Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Risen Lord, a reigning Lord. But notice what he said. He said his going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. What David is declaring is, listen, he goes down, he disappeared, the sun disappears off the sea. But you can mark it back, mark it down. He's coming back in the morning. And this speaks tonight of a returning Lord. Amen. 2,000 years ago, them disciples, amen, they're in Galilee. Amen. Outside the Mount of Olives, amen, was talking to the Lord. And while they was talking, he began to rise up out of their sight. And they stood there and they watched him go higher and higher and higher. And the Bible said, there was two men in white came down and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into glory? This same Jesus that you see taken up from among you out of your sight, amen, shall so come again in like manner as you've seen him go." You know what the child of God's awaiting on today? We're living in a dark land, a dark generation that's filled with sin. But in our heart we know every day when the sun gets up, God's just saying, "He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Sure as the sun will get up in the morning, Jesus is going to come again." He's typified in the sun as the risen Lord, the reigning Lord, the returning Lord, but also as the revenging Lord. David said, "And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Now, I had something dawn on me when I left here the last Wednesday night, and this is where we left off. But we understand that, my friend, you go and you get out in the sun, if you don't have any kind of protection, you're going to get burned. You got to watch it now. You got to have some kind of shield between you and the heat and the force and the strength and the might and the burn of the sun. Fair-skinned people like me have bottles and bottles bought in the springtime of what we call sunscreen. You spray that sunscreen on you so you can go out and you can be in the heat of the sun and you can work or you can play or you can do whatever it is, amen, and get out there and enjoy the warmth of the sun and enjoy the activities and the joy that comes with the daylight without getting burned. Now watch it now. I didn't catch it till I left here Wednesday night on my way home. Do you remember the verse I quoted? Psalm 84:11, what did it say? It said, "The Lord is a what? Sun and a shield." Hallelujah. I'm glad he can be both. Are you listening to me tonight? He is the revenging Lord. And I'm telling you, folk don't like to hear it. And if you've never been saved and you've never been by Calvary and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, amen, one of these days he's going to come again. And he'll not be born on the backside of Bethlehem. He'll not be crucified. And he'll come with a rod of iron and a sword's going to proceed out of his mouth. And he'll slay men where they stand. The word that comes out of his mouth, and friend, blood will flow to the horse's bridle. There is a revenging Lord coming one day. Revelation 19 said, though, that the saints of God are going to be riding behind the sun. Woo! Hallelujah. You know the difference between us and the crown left that's going to make war with him that sits on the horse. Is we got the Lord not only as a sun, but we've known him as a shield. We'll be protected by it. Amen. The blood and the mercy and the grace of God will shield us from the heat of the sun. Hallelujah. God's word in the heavens to convince us. Lord have mercy. I feel like just shouting a while. Brother Gerald, I'm glad. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know the Son. Know Him in all His glory, in all His fullness, in all that God has pinned down and revealed through Jesus Christ just in creation. Everything God says, everything God does points to one person. And it's Him that sits on the throne. Hallelujah. God's Word in the heavens to convince us. Number two, God's Word in the hand to convert you. Notice what He said in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. What did He say? Converting the soul. It ain't no accident He started with that. That's where it all stems from. Can I say tonight, thank God that He's put His Word in the sky. Amen. It is written down in the heaven to convince men. And God in creation, God in the heavens and in the firmament has His Word pinned down there for every tongue and nation to say. Tonight you and I live in America and much in the world tonight. I am privileged to have a copy of the Word of God. I'm glad that He pinned it down. The Bible said over there in 2 Peter in chapter number 1, amen, friend, He moved upon, amen, the Spirit of God moved upon holy men of old, and they would write down and pin down at which God was communicating with them. Amen, I'm glad tonight to report and to tell you that man does have a word from God in our hand. Amen, you say, preacher, in a day and an hour, when there's so many different translations, how do we know that we really have a word from heaven? Let me just go on record and say, tonight, amen, that back in 1611, amen, God, my friend, preserved His Word to the English-speaking people. It's been a working all these hundreds of years, over 400 years now. Amen, the King James Bible has stood true and stood strong. Amen, it's what my granddaddy got saved under. It's what my old Nazarene grandma, amen, got born again under. Amen, it's what convicted me and stirred my heart and saved me and kept my home together. Amen. I'm not looking for any other Bible. Amen. And the others ain't Bibles. They're just translations. Amen. At best, they're bad commentaries. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah, amen. You see tonight, we believe the Word of God. Amen. As Paul said, a young Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, amen, the word inspiration means God breathed, a very breath of God. Amen. I'm glad tonight that God has breathed and God has moved and God has used holy men in the old time. Amen. And spoke to them and give us His Word in our hands. Harold B. Sattler said, I've quoted him before, but he said, when I get to heaven, I'll be able to take my King James Bible and walk down the street of gold, and I'll never have to say I'm sorry. I believe it tonight. I believe it tonight. I'd hate to be Charles Stanley and David Jeremiah. Amen. And I'm sure they're good men, but they're wrong, friend. Amen. We've got one word. Hey, by the way, isn't this the biggest lie ever told? Well, they're all the same thing. Hey, friend, if two things are different, they ain't the same. Amen. If they're different, if they read different, they ain't the same. Amen. I could get in the history of it. I could get in some details of it. And let's just think about it practically a minute. If there's two things side by side and they're different, they ain't the same. One's got to be right and one's got to be wrong. Amen. David said this, Psalm 119. He said, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. God's got a copy of it up there. How unfair would it be of God to give you and ask something that was different and what was in glory? Are you listening? We believe in spared, preserved, perfect. The Word of God is in the King James Bible. When we say God's Word in our hand, I'm not talking about the NIV. And I can't help what your grandma said about it. I can't help what your old papaw, amen, carried around and used and told you was right. Amen. Listen, you got to settle in. As Jesus said, the devil in the wilderness temptation, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah, man. I'm so King James, we ain't even going to have Sunday school material that ain't King James. You might as well say, man, these churches arguing and debating and it's going on everywhere, whether or not they're going to be King James only or they're going to let something else, amen, come in. I tell you tonight, amen, if Brother Jeff ever gets up here and says, we're going to do something other than King James, amen, you throw my sorry tail at the church, amen, vote me out, kick me in the rear end, amen, and get rid of me. The Bible, the King James Bible is always right. Glory to God. Amen. Everybody know where we stand. We ain't a changing. We ain't changing. We ain't changing. Amen. You say, well, them others are easier to understand. Amen. Hogwash. If you know the author, thank God he'll tell you what the Bible has to say. Amen. There's been times I've come up on something that kind of stumped me, Brother Tim. I couldn't quite wrap my mind around it. But you know what I've learned? If you study, show yourself approved unto God, God will show you a thing or two out of that book. Amen. Amen. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Why? Because that's a spiritual book. Lord have mercy. I'm going to preach forever tonight, Brother Jack. Amen. That is a spiritual book. It must be spiritually discerned. Aid of the Holy Ghost moving in your heart and moving in your mind will reveal to you what that Bible has to say. Amen. Don't need to run out and get some new translation. Amen. There ain't nothing in me wants to go, amen. And they all say, well, you know, King James, he was this and he was that. Amen. You don't know. You wasn't there.
Yeah, that's right.
And he ain't the one that translated it nohow. There's some good men,
exactly.
Smart men, men who were saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. They wasn't a bunch of sodomites. Amen. They wasn't a bunch of drunkards.
Yeah.
Amen. They weren't a bunch of wicked witches.
Amen.
Oh, NIV Bible had wicked witches on the translation committee. Y'all might as well say amen tonight. I'm feeling good. We might play this excerpt on the radio. Amen. I'd hate to know I was toting a Bible and it was translated by a wicked witch. Amen. I'd hate to know I had to carry something around tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. I wonder what old David Jeremiah'd do.
Yeah.
Amen. If he heard this tonight. Amen. I ain't no ass carrying a Bible around and a bunch of sodomites translated.
Yeah.
Bunch of blood deniers.
Yeah.
Amen. Bunch of water dogs.
Yeah.
Think you got to be baptized.
Yeah.
Think you got to be baptized and be saved. That's that crowd been translating all these new translations.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. David said, the law of the Lord, what is it? He gives a testimony of the word. I got to hurry, I'll never get done. He gives a sevenfold testimony of the word of God. Number one, it is perfect. It is perfect. The law, and he's using the words, law of the Lord, testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. These are all synonyms for one thing, the word of God. The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
Ain't nothing perfect in this world except for that book right there. Everything else is faulty. Nothing else can be trusted. Nobody else can put confidence in. And when you open that old black book, that old King James Bible, hallelujah, I'm feeling good in the Lord tonight. Brother Dean, when I open that, I'm opening something that is absolutely perfect. Amen, I can trust it. I can take it to the bank. Amen, there's some things God cannot do. And Paul said he cannot lie. Everything God has said is right and perfect and can be trusted. The law of the Lord is perfect. So don't touch it.
Yeah.
And don't change it.
Yeah.
That's why the Lord gave the severe warning over there in the book of Revelation that men are not to take away from it and men are not to add to it. Why? Because if you add anything to something that's perfect, you've messed it up. If you take away anything from something that's already perfect, you defile it. It becomes imperfect. And David said, God has given His Word in our hand that we might be convicted. It is a perfect Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number two, he said the law of the Lord is perfect. He said the testimony of the Lord is what? Sure. This deals with permanent. In fact, it means the word sure implies something established, something set in stone. It's something that is permanent. Here's what Peter said. He said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. Here's what Jesus said over in Matthew. Is it Matthew 24? He looked at the disciples and he said, look, boys, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. What is he saying? The Bible teaches that God's word is absolutely sure. It's something permanent. When heaven and earth pass away, you can lay that word out and you can stand on it. It's something that is permanent. When the sun burns out and the moon turns to blood and the stars fall out of the sky, that book will stand and be permanent throughout all eternity. Everybody all right? It's perfect. It's permanent. He said the statutes of the Lord are right. That word right literally means pleasant. And can I say, thank God, it is a pleasant word. And I know it's a two-edged sword. And it pierces and divides asunder the soul and the spirit. It's something that cuts. But if you're saved and you're right with God and right with His Word, guess what? A word of God is a pleasant thing. Amen. You can have Shakespeare. He bores me. Amen. Deepa ain't here tonight. She's got a doctorate in literature. Amen. I don't know much about Shakespeare and Macbeth. Amen. But I do know something about this book. Been a lot of unpleasant days I've lived that I found in the Word of God a very pleasant place to go. Oh, hallelujah. I ain't got time to bog down here. Amen. Brother A.L., how many days have we been walking through the fire and we picked up the Word of God and found He walks with us in the fire? How many days have we been in storms and we found that through the Word of God He knows how to still the storm? How many days have we had a need? We picked it up and it fell open to Philippians chapter number 4 that God could supply all our need. How many days have we wondered, is God even near? And we went to the Word of God and we found that pleasant truth. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Over and over, the Word of God has had a work of grace and done a work of grace in our life in being a very pleasant book. Notice what he said. He said, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Pure, untainted, unstained. You've seen stained glass. They take glass and they add color to it and they stain it and they're corrupting the integrity of that glass. And men look at it and I guess it's beautiful when the sun hits it, but it's been stained. Can I say, there is no stain in the Word of God. Somebody said, well, there's contradictions in the Word of God. Show me one. Only contradiction is between your ears. Amen. There ain't no contradiction in the Word of God. God, amen, when you rightly divide the Word of God and you leave it in its context, and, amen, God has inspired it and written it down and preserved it to where we have it today in a very form where, my friend, it can be trusted. It is pure. Notice with me, he said, boy, this is good, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Let me say this tonight. It is preserved. He said it's clean, that there's no dirt in it, and because it's clean, it's something that Brother Chris is going to endure forever. And can I say tonight, it is a preserved word from God. Inspired and preserved. The liberal tonight wants to argue and say, well, it was inspired when God gave it to Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Paul. It was inspired then. And they denied the doctrine of preservation. But God has promised He would purify and preserve His Word to every generation. Yeah, man. Preserved. That's why I ain't looking for another copy. Yeah, man. God has preserved His Word and passed it down.
Yes,
in a very pure form where it is clean. And you can look at it and you can take it to the bank and trust it. Notice, it's something that he testifies tonight that is profitable. He said it's true. Amen. The judgments of the Lord are true. It's something profitable. True is something hard to find in this day. Live in a generation of liars. Children lie, parents lie, churches lie, preachers lie. Amen. There's so many lies being told. We was riding down the road one day, and Sammy, several years ago, Sammy spoke up. He said, everybody lies. You know why he said that? He's living in a generation where there's so many lies that are told. Can I say God don't lie? That's something that's profitable. You can take it and apply the truth to your life. Then he said it's righteous. I wrote down it's a peculiar book. Amen. I mean, when you hold it, it's righteous. It's not, amen, it's not Oprah magazine. You bunch of Reader's Digest fans, it ain't even Reader's Digest. People sit down and read Reader's Digest all day. Amen. Some of you women. You get them old. They get them old love novels. They'll read them love novels. God help. God help. Make me want to throw up. Love novels. Romance novels, they call them. Amen. It's wicked. Wicked, 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 wicked. Wicked, wicked, wicked. Capital W, wicked. Whoa. I can pick that book up right there. And it'll never lead me. It'll never lead me to cheat on my wife. It'll never cause me to beat my children. It'll never encourage me to do things that God said don't do. Why? Because it's a righteous book. Amen. It'll keep you out the barroom. It'll keep you out the honky-tonk. It'll keep your mouth clean. Amen. These bunch of folk run down these liberal churches, bunch of emotional liberal,
yes,
non-KJB only churches, and they go down there, and on the way home, they got to go by the barroom and the honky-tonks. I wouldn't call myself saved, much less a Christian.
Exactly.
Amen. You know what you need? You need the stinking devil preached out of you with the King James Bible. You need to get born again, saved, Holy Ghost, right with God. Why? Because that's a peculiar book. You can't preach the stuff we preach around here, Brother Dean, and it go over real good in this world. Thank God there's a few falling in love with it, coming in, getting saved, but everybody don't like it. We've had a lot of folk come, but there's been a lot more that come and went than have come and stayed. Y'all say, man, now you know why? Because they don't like their country music being preached on. They don't like their britches being preached on, and they don't like their rock and roll music preached on. They don't like a preacher telling them where their kids ought to go and not go. Yeah, man. Do you know why we preach it? Because we got a peculiar book. We're peculiar people. They're supposed to live by a peculiar book. And we try not to be mean about it, but listen, it's hard to preach against the things going on in our world with a big old smile on your face. Amen. It's hard for me to take Osteen serious. He smiles too much. Amen. I don't want to be around no sourpuss, but somebody smile all the time, them big old beaver teeth. Does that not upset anybody else?
Yes.
Amen. Makes me nervous. Looks too much like a... We ain't got no car salesman in here, do we? Looks too much like an old crooked car salesman trying to sell me a lemon. Woo! I don't know how I got off on all that. That peculiar book, praise God, we're going to preach it in a peculiar way. Amen. Peculiar testimony. There's the tread. By the way, let me say, I got to quit. I'm done. Right here. He gives a testimony of it, of what it is. And listen what I'm getting ready to say. It's only, Brother Chris, because of what it is that it can do what it does. If it ain't them seven things I just listed to you, it can never convert the soul. Amen. You go home and you chew on it, and if I'm right about what I said, there's even less people getting saved in our day than we want to believe. Amen. If it ain't perfect, it can't save you. If it ain't sure and right, Brother Larry, if it ain't perfect, we're in trouble. We're in absolute trouble. I'm glad, thank God, it was a perfect book preached under the power of God that pricked my soul, Brother Will, brought me to my knees and brought me to my senses and brought me to myself and brought me to the Savior. And I got converted because of the Word of God in my hand. If it ain't what it is, it can't do what it does. What did he say it does? He said it converts the soul. It enlightens the eyes. That means it opens up your eyes. If it ain't perfect, pure, all them things, it can't do that. It rejoices the heart when you're down. It encourages you. Why? Because it's perfect. If it ain't what it is, it can't do what it does. So that ain't real good English, but it's good. Praise God. You know what I'm saying. If it ain't what it is, it can't do what it does. I'm saved, sealed, satisfied. Amen. Searching for the soon coming of the Lord, because that Word of God is everything it declares itself to be. I'm done right there. No, I ain't. The treasures of the written Word, the testimonies about it, the treasures are, verse 10. Amen. It's greater than gold, and it's sweeter than honey. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't mistreat that book right there. That's the Word of God. Some of y'all throw it up in your dashboard and in the back window, and you let it sit there all week long. Shame on you. I doubt you'd do that if you had a bag with $1 million in it. You wouldn't leave it lay up there in the sun. Oh no, you keep that tucked under your arm. You take it with you everywhere you went. You'd sleep with it. You'd get up in the morning and you'd flip through and you'd count every bill. Ain't it amazing? We got something greater than gold, something sweeter than honey. And we treat it with so little respect. That is the Word of God. You say, oh, that is old tattered black book. Oh, no, it ain't. That is the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You need that more than you need your next meal. Some of y'all say, if you'd let me go, praise God, I'm starving. I want to go eat. You need that Word more than you need your next meal.
Amen.
It's what Job said, I esteem His Word more than my necessary food. Sweeter than honey and greater than gold, it's a treasure in an ungodly world. Well, I didn't even get to His Word in our heart. I got His Word in the heaven. I got His Word in our hand. The closing of Psalm 19 is His Word in our heart to convict us.
Amen.
Can I just throw this out so I don't have to preach it again? He's given us His Word in our heart. It goes from the heavens. He's given it to us in our hand. And then some old loud-mouthed, red-headed young preacher get up and scream about how you ought to live.
Get on your lifestyle. I mean, jump up on your roof and rip these shingles off. And you'll go home and you'll say, I don't like that kind of preaching. But you'll get on down there, and you'll say something you shouldn't say, and the Holy Ghost will say, that ain't right. You can't talk like that. You know what that is? His word in your heart that you can't get away from. David said that we're warned by that word. Verse 11. Is it verse 10 or 11? We're warned by His word. And He said, in keeping of them, there's great reward. And He said, I'm going to be kept from presumptuous sins. Them old proud sins, them things you walk out of here and you say, I'm going to dress how I want to dress. And you do and you will. But every time you dress some way, it's been preached from that word you ain't supposed to. You're presumptuously sinning against the Word of God, and you know you're wrong. Whoa! Why? Because it's the Word in the heart. You can bow up and rebel to it all day long, but that Word of God convicts you. That's why you can't be happy running down the road with your old, I don't even know. All I know, Willie Nelson. Somebody help us. Your Willie Nelson going down the road. Amen. And then you come in here and some preacher says, you can't listen to that and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And you get rolling on down the road and son, they'll go to listening to something they shouldn't listen to. And the Word's done been exposed to their heart. Yeah. And they may not change the channel, but they can't be too happy listening to it. Glory. You go to watch something or get on the internet somewhere you shouldn't be, and the preacher done blistered your hide and exposed you the Word of God. It's done got in your heart. And you're going to say, I'm going to do it anyway. When you're going to do it, but you ain't going to find near as much joy as you used to because that word's in there saying, you can't do that. Glory to God. That word in our heart to convict us about the folly of sin and about our fellowship with the Savior. Verse 14. I preach way too long. Somebody say amen right there.
Good preaching.
Amen. Well, y'all want me to keep preaching? Fellowship with the Savior. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, the things I say and the things I think. What did He say? He said, Lord, let them be acceptable. That word acceptable means to be pleasant to. Or it means, Brother A.L., it literally means to satisfy a debt. You ever heard somebody say, well, I can never repay the Lord for what He did for me. I understand what we mean, and there's no way we'll ever measure what God gave for us to be saved. But God's told us how to serve Him. God's told us how to please Him. God's told us how to pay our debt. We don't pay it to be saved or to keep saved. We pay it because we are saved. And he's saying, I want what I say and what I think for it to satisfy the debt that I owe to God for all He's done for me. You know what? You know how you do that? Through the power of the Word of God convicting you. Amen. You'll say something or think something you shouldn't say or think. And you'll begin to get out of fellowship with the Lord, and the Word of God will say, won't you get on back close to the Lord again? And it convicts you and it brings you back into fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord ain't an emotional thing. It's a thing that's spiritual, connected to the Word of God. And listen to what I'm going to say. I'm done. You'll never be right with God unless you're right with that book.
Exactly.
You are not right with God if you're not right with that book. That's the problem I have with our generation. But Jack, as we knock on doors, people beers in their hand. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Yeah. Hogwash. You are not saved because the Bible said there ain't no drunkard going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Well, you know Lot, and everybody wants to run to Lot and justify
Amen. Listen, I believe Lot was a saved man. His righteous soul was vexed. But quit using a carnal man to justify your own wickedness. Oh, Lot, oh, you can get away from the Lord. You can back, they ain't nearly as many backslid people as there are lost people claiming to be backslid. You can live in sin years and years and years, and that Word of God never convicts you and draws you back to the Savior. You, the Bible said, they that are led of the Spirit of God as He lead through the Word. Amen. As many as be led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's Romans 8, King James Bible doctrinal preaching. The Spirit of God leads through the Word of God. And I said I was going to quit 10 minutes ago, didn't I? But I just feel like saying, He'll lead through the Word of God. He'll always draw you back through the Word, back to the Savior. You may get up and cuss in the morning. That Word's going to make you feel guilty, and you'll get right with God, repent, and forsake. Amen. I know it ain't popular, bless God. It's the Bible. And if you want to talk about it, and I ain't arguing nobody, if you want to talk about it after service, I'll sit down. We'll go over and over and over it, and I'll prove that that book's right and you're wrong. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we love You. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight to be in the house of the Lord. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the day You let me hear it, not just with my physical ear, but Lord, You let me hear it in my heart. It found a lodging place. It convicted me. And Lord, I'm saved tonight because of the Word of God. Lord, tonight, I know I preached a while. There's a lot of needs and burdens, Lord, things that, Lord, we intended to get on this altar and pray about together. Lord, I just want to ask You right now that You'd help and bless. Bless my wife tonight. I pray that You give her strength. And then I pray for Brother Johnny there. Lord, You know, Lord, he's had a little rough week this week. I pray even tonight You'd help him. Bless Ada tonight. We pray for dear Brother Tony. God, You know his need. And Lord, we pray You continue to strengthen him. Lord, thank You for letting him lead Kenny, the Lord, this afternoon. I know, Lord, that'll encourage him, Lord, to be used in that way. Father, I pray You'd encourage him tonight. We thank of Sister Emily this evening. Lord, we thank of the Knights as they're traveling on vacation. And Brother Williams, he's traveling for work. Lord, we thank the Burchett children tonight. They're sick and not feeling well. Betty mentioned her grandkids on Sunday. Lord, You know their needs. I pray, Father, You'd help them. Lord, we pray tonight. Lord, there's so many needs and so many things that, Lord, we're just trusting You to do. We pray for the meeting, Lord, here in 10 days that we're going to start. I pray that, Lord, You'd give every man of God in every service the exact word we need from heaven. Thank You tonight, Lord, for what You're doing in our church. We give You the glory for it. I praise You. I bless You. Lord, I'm excited about it. And looking forward to what You're going to do in days to come. Help us, Lord, tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.